Amen. So wonderful to see everyone in the house of the Lord tonight. I've had something on my soul for several weeks, and I want to share with this body. It's peculiar times that we're in, and it's strange times, but it's good times. Amen. And confusion in this world is a time of great harvest in the church, because God is not the author of confusion, but he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. And in the midst of confusion, there's a whistle call for a leader or a child of God to display their faith. Amen. And I want to talk a little bit this evening about something that I've had on my heart for several weeks. I've been anxiously waiting my midweek time. All of our other ministry in this church, but I'm thankful tonight to be able to bring the word of the Lord. Can we give the Lord another hand clap of praise for what a wonderful looking crowd is here tonight? Amen. And I'm just thankful to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. We'll be in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. We begin reading in verse 9. We'll be reading verse 9 through verse 18. You can shout out amen real loud when you get there. If you do not have your Bibles tonight, the words are provided for you up on the screen behind me. We are in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, and the 9th verse. Amen. The word of the Lord. Is our junior church tonight, Brother Carl? Play practice, okay. Anyone that's in the play, any of our children that's in the play can be dismissed downstairs. Before we begin reading our text tonight, we're in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter and the 9th verse. Amen. The word of the Lord says, "Let there be love, let love be without dissimulation." Don't hide your love. Don't try to cover up your love. Let it be displayed. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another. I'm going to read that one more time, because I think every child of God needs to get this down in their spirit tonight. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. These things are foundational tonight. Not slothful in business, or fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. I mean, no, that's not always easy. Bless them which persecute you and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil, but provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Amen. I want to speak to you for just a few moments tonight. I want to teach on this topic, harmony. Harmony. And I want to teach tonight, unless Brother Mike starts jumping and Sister Peg starts running around the sanctuary and Brother Nathan starts dancing, we might switch over to preaching. But for a few moments, I want to teach on this topic tonight, on the topic of harmony. Let's all pray together. Lord, bless your word tonight. May it deepen us. May it strengthen us. May it prosper us. May it get a hold of us tonight, Lord. May it transform us. Bless the ears that hath an ear to hear it tonight. Bless the hearts that are hungry for it. Oh God, let us sit down at the Master's table tonight and partake of that bread that we may eat thereof and never die. We love you tonight. We praise you. We ask a special blessing upon your word tonight. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let all the believers say amen. Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Just before the beginning of service, there was a handout passed around. If you did not receive one, please lift up your hand. Brother Carl or Brother Bo will. Do we have any more of those, Brother Bo? We don't have any more? Okay. Just lean right over there and share with Allie, if you don't mind, brother. But if anybody's got an extra one, Brother Mike needs one, and Brother Jacob Schultz could use one. Brother Bo, will you grab that one from Brother Ken back there? Bring that up here. I want to speak for just a few moments on the topic of harmony. I believe the Apostle Paul was a man who was justified in speaking on this subject as he bishoped and started many churches, overseen many churches. He had much to say on the topic of church unity and church harmony. And peace in God's family. Amen. And tonight we want to try to extract a few things from the Apostle Paul's teaching. And I want to talk a little bit about harmony tonight. I believe that God wants his church to dwell in harmony. There's five other people here that believe that with me. I believe that God wants his church to dwell in harmony. Amen. Harmony. Everybody shout out harmony. God wants his church to live in harmony. There are a lot of things in this life that we realize very quickly that we cannot count on. How many in this church within the last several years have lost a job? You know, we're in the times where you don't know whether your job's going to be there Monday when you show up for work. We're living in crazy times. There's a lot of things you cannot count on. People are not genuine like they used to be. People are not faithful like they used to be. You could count on your job. You started a job when you was a young man and you retired at an old man. And you built friends that would last a lifetime. But times have changed, and it seems that there are many things that we cannot count on. We've learned over the last 2 years that our health is something that is not to be taken for granted. You know, there's a lot more things that are in the world today to cause us to get sick, to cause fear to come up on us. And there's a lot of things that we cannot count on. But I'm thankful today that we have a God that we can count on. We have a God that we know who he is. We know he's faithful. We know he's just. We know his mercies are from everlasting to everlasting. We know that his hand's not short. We know that his ear's not deaf. We know he's caused the blind eyes to see and the deaf to hear. We know he raised Lazarus from the grave. We've seen miracles in this church. We know we have a God that we can count on tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight that not only do we have a God that we can count on, but we got a church we can count on. I know every Tuesday night when I walk through the doors that there's going to be somebody here to worship the Lord with me. Now, we got some unfaithful just like every other church does. And if you're watching, Lord bless you. Don't be unfaithful. But, you know, we got some unfaithful just like every church does. But we got a lot of good, faithful saints of God in this church. And I'm thankful for you. Amen. I'm thankful for a God that we can count on. I'm thankful for a church that we can count on. And I'm glad to be in an apostolic church tonight. I'm glad to be in a truth preaching church tonight. I'm glad to be in an aisle running church and a foot stomping church and a hand clapping church and a tongue talking church. I'm glad to be in a church that believes in repenting and turning away from your sin and being baptized in Jesus' name and being filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm glad to be in an apostolic church tonight. Praise the Lord. And I believe we can count on this message. I believe in this message tonight, and I'm thankful to be a part of an apostolic church. The true church come out of the holiness movement. We hold to doctrine that some deem today as unnecessary. We hold to things that many have turned away from. We hold the scriptural truths that many have departed from. But we are still an apostolic church. Amen. And we got some babes in Christ in this church. And we got some elders in this church that know how to live for God. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight to be a part of the apostolic church. We still believe in the doctrine of separation. We still understand that our works do not save us, but sanctification is still the result of salvation. Amen. Just because we're not saved by our works, and we're not saved by the way we dress, and we're not saved by the way we talk, don't mean that God don't expect something different from his people. Amen. So we still believe in the doctrine of sanctification. Amen. And we still believe it is the result of salvation. If God has saved you, if God has blessed you, if God has pulled you out of the miry clay and set your feet on the rock to stay, come on, you will desire to please him. Let me tell you something. If a man comes up to you and you're working at McDonald's making minimum wage, and he comes up to you and he says, "Hey, sir, I'm going to take you right over here and I'm going to put you in this office. I'm going to give you your own office and I'm going to pay you $250,000 a year." Let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to appreciate that man. You're going to do everything you can to please that man and to do everything that he tells you to do. It's the same way with our salvation tonight. If you've really been pulled out of the muck and the mire, you've really been set on a solid rock to stay, you're going to desire to please the one who has been so good to you. Amen. So even though we're not saved by works, and I get it, we are to be baptized, which is a physical deed, but we're not saved by the way that we live. It's still necessary for us to live the sanctified life. Amen. It's still necessary. And if you love God, you will want to please him. And as an apostolic church, we're a people that hold to deep convictions. We believe in deep convictions. We hold to deep convictions. Does that make us perfect? No. That doesn't make us perfect. That makes us striving to be like Christ Jesus. And that doesn't make us perfect, but it does make us different. And let me tell you something. If you're fitting in with the world, you're probably not standing out from the world. So it does not make us perfect, but it does make us different. And I want to talk a little bit about those convictions tonight for just a few moments. There are things that the Bible does not clearly define. There are things that the Bible does not clearly describe. Those things fall into the realm of what we call convictions. All right, there are scriptural truths that we declare, we hold fast to, and we don't deviate from. We teach them with all sincerity. And then there are things that that fall into the realm of the things that we call convictions. A conviction is a firmly held belief or opinion. I have a deeply held conviction that nobody should eat chicken liver. My Lord, how can anybody do that? Leslie's like, "Lord have mercy. If you're in this place and you eat chicken livers, I'm going to pray for you." Man, listen, chicken livers, listen, organs are made for the functioning of the body. not for the satisfying of the stomach. All right, I'm just kidding you. You can go to heaven eating chicken livers, I think, maybe. But, you know, we have these convictions. We have these deeply held beliefs or deeply held opinions. There are matters that you could call disputable. I remember over the years, me and Brother Paul having discussions about the tribulation, about the rapture, and there's a difference of opinion in the church concerning, you know, some folks are pre-trib, some folks are post-trib, some folks are hardcore trib, and if you don't believe the way they believe trib, you're going to hell believing in the wrong trib. I've heard people condemn people to hell because they believed in pre-tribulation. I lean post-trib. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to get in your Bible, all right? And you need to study about the end of time because the Lord's coming back for a church that's made themselves ready. But these are one of the things that people have deeply held convictions and opinions on. And some people believe that the Lord's going to call the church home before the tribulation starts. And some people believe that the Lord's going to call the church home after they endure a period of tribulation. And these are things that you could call disputable, things that the Bible does not clearly define, things that the Bible does not give us a concrete answer on. And I want to talk for just a few moments on a couple of these topics tonight. Now, some things the Bible does not give us concrete answers on. Some things are spiritually discerned. Now, it would be nice if the Bible would give us on every single topic a thou shalt and a thou shalt not. But we don't always get that. So there are things that are spiritually discerned. But I do believe that we can have deeply held convictions and still have harmony in the body of Christ. Now, somebody who loves harmony would not allow pre-trib or post-trib to disfellowship somebody. All right? But there are those hardcore folks that their convictions should be everybody's convictions. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight also. Listen, your convictions, let me just say this before I go on any farther. Your convictions are your convictions. All right? The Word of God is the Word of God, all right? But your convictions are your convictions. There are matters that you could call disputable in the Word of God tonight, and we don't always get a thou shalt or thou shalt not, but some things are spiritually discerned. And we can have peace and we can have harmony in the body of Christ, even though some folks may have a few different convictions than others. And when I say convictions, I'm talking about a deeply held opinion. Because the truth is, when it comes to some matters, that's exactly what you got, is an opinion, a deeply held opinion, okay? We're living in difficult times. People are facing decisions that they've never had to face before. Over the last few weeks, I've seen certain professions picketing or walking out or refusing to get vaccinated. I was talking with my mother a few weeks ago about a lady that we know that has a high level position in a reputable company, and they was telling her that, hey, if you're not going to get vaccinated, you're going to lose your job. We're living in times where difficult times. Where people are having to make decisions that they don't necessarily want to make. And some people feel that their convictions are being questioned and their convictions are being ripped out from underneath them. People are facing decisions whether they're going to get vaccinated or lose their jobs. They believe it's right to provide for their family, but they choose not to get vaccinated. Some folks believe you should be vaccinated. And once again, These are your own convictions. The Bible does not say thou shalt be vaccinated. And the Bible does not say thou shalt not be vaccinated. So what I want to talk about tonight is peace and harmony in the body of Christ. And everybody learning to stay in their own lane when it comes to their convictions. All right? Stay in their own lane when it comes to their convictions. So some people have a deep conviction that they don't want to take the vaccine, and that's okay. And some people have a conviction that everybody should take the vaccine, and that's okay. If you want to be vaccinated, the problem is when we allow our convictions to attack the harmony of the body of Christ. Let me tell you something. I've heard over this holiday season of more than one family. I've heard of several, probably more than five families, where people have come to me and told me about major disputes in their family atmosphere because people started talking about all of this political stuff. And the next thing you know, one person who is pro-vaccination and one person who's anti-vaccination, and the next thing you know, they're going at it, and there's the harmony of the family is attacked. You know what that is? That's people who don't understand the teaching of the Apostle Paul, that you need to hold your own convictions in peace and in harmony. All right? You got to hold your own convictions in peace and in harmony. We can hold to our convictions, and we can still have harmony in the body of Christ. We've seen this with the discussion of the rapture, for our critics who might be watching tonight, the catching away. I understand that the word rapture is not in the Bible, but it's the same thing, different terminology. All right. But there are those that allow these things to come between the brothers and sisters in Christ, and these things should not be. All right, we need to learn to have harmony. We need to learn to love people. We need to learn to hold to our own convictions. I'm not talking about what your church teaches as standards. Listen, if your pastor preaches it, you should live by it. But if you have your own personal conviction about something, it's your own personal conviction. Okay, and this is what we're talking about tonight. So we got to be careful because these things will come between the body of Christ, and the devil's good at what he does, and he's using many different things. The vaccine is just one thing. The tribulation is just one thing. The devil uses many things to come between the body of Christ. I've heard people say you're going to go to hell if you believe in the pre-tribulation. And that's not having harmony in the body of Christ. So before we jump into our PowerPoint tonight, I do want to use an acronym for the word harmony. But before we jump into our PowerPoint tonight, I do want to discuss something. I want to talk about something that happened in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. The Bible says that there was a dispute among the children of God, whether it was okay. And you can go home and you can read this later because, you know, I know it's midweek Bible study. But go home and read the book of 1 Corinthians in the 8th chapter and you'll see this discussion. But there was a discussion in the book of 1 Corinthians in the 8th chapter amongst the people of God about whether it was okay to eat the meat that had been offered to idols. Now, some had, they saw it as being conservative or it was cheap. It was meat that had already been used for a purpose, but it was still eatable, and it was still fine to eat. So some saw it as being a good steward. So they thought, well, the meat's cheap. I can do more with what I have if I use this meat. There were others that saw it as, well, that's what the Lord brought me out of, was that pagan worship. The Lord brought me out of that mess. So I refuse to take part in meat that has been offered to idols. The truth is, Paul said that the kingdom of God is neither in meat or in drink, right? But it's in peace and harmony and joy in the Holy Ghost, right? So we had this discussion, and some thought that they were being good stewards because the meat was cheap, and others thought that they were compromising, and they were appalled at the idea that people would eat meat that came from pagan worship. Okay, So Paul has to end up addressing these things between the brothers and sisters in Christ, and he has to teach about harmony. All right, and that's what I want to talk a little bit about tonight. There needs to remain harmony in the body of Christ. Everybody say harmony. We need to have harmony in the body of Christ. So let's look at the. We're going to treat this word as an acronym tonight. Now, full transparency, this is not a John Biddle Bible study. This is something that I was taught, but it's too good not to share. So I want to share this thought with you tonight. Let's look at this acronym, HARMONY, the first letter, H. Hold your judgment in disputable matters. Man, that's good stuff right there. Hold your judgment in disputable matters. Not everybody cares about your opinion. All right? Hold your judgment in disputable matters. There's things that we have talked about already, things that are not clear in Scripture, things like the rapture, things like style of music. I've had discussions with people in this church. You know, you'll never make everybody happy. Some say we sing too many old songs. Some say we sing too many new songs. Some say we sing too many songs, period. For those folks, I'm going to sing an extra song on Sunday. But you're never going to please everyone, all right? So there's always disputable matters, and there's things that are not clear. The Bible doesn't say that we have to sing Amazing Grace every Sunday to get to heaven. Listen, and I know we have some older folks in this church, and we try to do some older songs. I like those older songs, but I know we have a strong younger crowd too, all right? So we try to give it a mix to where everybody, and we can create some peace and some harmony in the church. All right, and these are the things that we're talking about tonight. You got to learn to hold your judgment in disputable matters, because there's a good chance that you voicing your opinion all the time. Not every thought has to have a voice. Not every thought has to have a voice. Okay. And sometimes you got to learn to hold your judgment in disputable matters. Listen, I'll give you a good example. When our kids were little, we used to take them to Chuck E. Cheese all the time. Now, we all know that Chuck E. Cheese has changed. We all know that a few years back, Lord, might even been longer than a few, might have been 5 or 10, but a few years back, they started letting people come in and drink alcohol. So now you go to Chuck E. Cheese to take your kids to play, and there could be somebody down the way who's drinking, right? Now, you may have a deep conviction about that. You may say, well, I don't think it's right to go to Chuck E. Cheese because they now serve alcohol, all right? But somebody else may say, well, I was going to Chuck E. Cheese before the drunks were going to Chuck E. Cheese. And I was taking my kids to Chuck E. Cheese, and I shouldn't have to stop taking my kids to Chuck E. Cheese because somebody else wants to drink alcohol. All right? Now, listen, if you have a conviction about not going, God bless your heart, then don't go. Live by it. All right? But don't judge somebody else because while their kid is playing in the ball pit, some guy down the way is getting drunk while his kid's on the video game. That don't mean that somebody who goes to Chuck E. Cheese is going to go to hell because some other guy chose to become a drunkard, right? So this is what I'm talking about. Hold your judgment in disputable matters. Some things people got to figure out on their own. They got to work out their own soul salvation with fear and with trembling, right? So if you got a deep conviction about Chuck E. Cheese and you think it's wrong to go there, then God bless your heart. Then stay away from Chuck E. Cheese. All right, but don't judge your brother or your sister because they take their kids to a little kid's place and let them play in the ball pit. All right, if you want harmony in the body of Christ, you got to learn to hold your judgment in disputable matters. My Lord, have mercy. Everybody's quiet and listening. I'm hoping this is sinking in real good tonight. All right, we got to learn to hold our judgment in disputable matters. Number two, the letter A, avoid looking down on others who do not hold your convictions. Ah, Lord, have mercy. We're getting into some good stuff. Avoid looking down on other people who do not hold your convictions. Every one of us are at a different place in our walk with God. There are people in this church that believe fully in the doctrine of separation. There are people in this church that have not been in the church long enough to even know what the doctrine of separation is, but you want them to live by the doctrine of separation. Come on. Avoid looking down on other people who do not hold your convictions, all right? Every one of us are at a different place in our walk with God. That other person, even though they have not come to the knowledge of some things, they are still a part of the kingdom of God. They are still a part of the kingdom of God. They don't answer to you, they answer to God. They answer to God and they answer to their pastor, all right? So we got to avoid looking down on other people who do not hold our same convictions. All right. If you do this, listen, if you'll avoid looking down on other people who don't have the same convictions, and I'm not talking about scriptural truths. I'm talking about things that the Bible does not clearly define. All right. Things that the Bible does not clearly define. If you'll avoid looking down on other people because they don't hold the same convictions of you, it'll keep pride out of your life. You know what a proud person does? They're always looking down on everybody else. You know what a proud man does? He'll step on anybody to get himself a little bit higher. Oh, did you see so-and-so doing this? Did you see so-and-so wearing that? Hey, how about you hold to your own convictions and let the babes in Christ grow? And when I feel that there needs to be something addressed, then I'll address it. All right? But we got to avoid looking down on other people who don't hold our convictions, and I'm talking about our deeply held opinions, not scriptural truths. If you're going to be a part of this leadership, I'm going to have a very clear discussion with you what I expect the way you to live for you to be a part of this leadership. But there are a lot of people in this church that are new to church that deserve the opportunity to grow in Christ. They deserve the opportunity to grow and to learn and to be nurtured and to be developed in Christ Jesus. Avoid looking down on people who do not hold the same convictions that you do. All right? Now, be humble. Paul said, I'm the least of all of the apostles. Paul was certainly not the least of all of the apostles, but in his own mind he was. All right. He said, I'm the least of all of the apostles. He understood the principle of not looking down on other people because they didn't hold to his own convictions. All right. He was being humble. All right. Now, the letter R. Switch that to R. Realize that you must live for the Lord alone. All right. I'm not going to heaven on what Brother Nathan does. I'm not going to hell on what Brother Nathan don't. Okay? I got to live for the Lord for myself. You got to live for the Lord for yourself. If you worry more about yourself than you do everybody else, you're going to be a whole lot better off. You got to realize you got to live for the Lord for yourself. Okay? And this is something that people just don't see today. They get so caught up. I heard somebody tell me the other day, we were talking about one of our church services. We had a visitor, and they said, yeah, they go to a real strict church, and boy, you ain't even allowed to go in there with a pair of pants on. I was like, well, I'm going to pray for that church, because we want people coming into the house of God to be changed. We want people coming into the house of God to be pulled out of the lifestyle that they lived in. Amen. And I remember Brother Stan Gleason saying, you should have saw the look on the face of my church when I told him the favorite smell in my church, the one I love the most, is the smell of alcohol. He said, you know what that tells me? That tells me I got a sinner in there that I can work on and I can pull them out of the clutches of hell. He said, then you should have saw him when I told him the favorite second smell that I love to smell in my church is cigarette smoke. Boy, this goes against some traditionals today. But listen, our job is to go out into the highways and the byways, compel them to come in, to love them, to teach them, to nurture them, and let the Lord convict them, and let the Lord deal with them. And listen, and they'll grow and they'll prosper in the church. We got to realize that we got to live for the Lord for ourselves, okay? Listen, if you can please God and please people, then great. God bless you. You're talented. But if you can't please God and please people, you need to choose to please God first. You need a desire to please God first. You got to live for the Lord alone. All right, we need each other. We lean on each other. But if you're all constantly in somebody else's lane, you're constantly upsetting somebody, you're constantly making somebody feel less than, guess what you're going to find yourself? You're going to find yourself alone. You're going to find yourself alone. All right, you got to learn to, you're going to have to live for the Lord yourself and let other people live for the Lord when it comes to disputable matters, okay? If we live unto the Lord, if we live unto the Lord. If we die unto the Lord. Realize you must live for the Lord alone. M. Switch out to M for me. Make sure that you do not put obstacles in the way of other people. My Lord. I got a whole bunch of amens. I think some people are in agreement with me tonight that we need to be careful and not be obstacles to babes in Christ. If you're an elder in this place and a babe comes in here and they see your own nasty attitude, guess what you just did to them? If you're an elder in this place and a babe in Christ hears you tell a lie, guess what you just did to them? If you're an elder in this place and a babe in Christ sees you take something that don't belong to you, guess what you just did to them? You put an obstacle in there in front of them. You put an obstacle in their way. All right? We need to make sure that we do not put obstacles in the way of other people, especially the babes in Christ. This is a problem. It's a problem that the body of Christ, not just this church, every church, this is the church in general, it's a problem. Man, I tell you, people get deeply hurt when they put their faith in elders in a church and they get let down. I know people that still don't go to church, and it's been a decade because they got their heart ripped out in a church. Make sure you don't put obstacles in people's way. All right? Be a builder and not a destroyer. God loves a builder. God loves somebody who, let me tell you something, if your motivation is always love, even letting someone know about something that they're doing wrong is still building them up. If your motivation is love. But if your motivation is to tear down, you're laying an obstacle in front of your brother's feet. All right? So let's be careful not to put obstacles in the way of other people. We need to make up our mind that we're going to make our brother or our sister fall. Listen, if a person is not fully persuaded on some things, you need to pray for them. Don't talk about them. Pray for them. Seek God for them, all right? Listen, the Lord will separate the wheat and the tare. I'm a firm believer that the sinners can't sit with the righteous. If you come into this church and you want to play church, you'll be here for a little while, and then you'll fade away. If you're not serious about walking with God, nobody will have to run you out of the church. You'll go on your own. Because the Bible says that the sinners won't be able to sit with the righteous. Either you're going to serve God, either you're going to walk with God, or you're going to serve the world and you're going to walk with the devil. It's going to be one of those two things. But people certainly do not need the church to lay stumbling blocks in their way to drive them out of the church. So we got to be careful. Make sure you don't put obstacles in the way of others, okay? You can't place your personal convictions on people. God will do the convicting. So make sure you don't place obstacles in the way of others, okay? Only do what leads to peace and edification of the body of Christ. Think about it before you do it. Think about it. Bring every thought and subject it to Christ. Bring it under the obedience of Jesus Christ. Lord, what's going to happen if I do this? Lord, is it your will that I do this? Man, let me tell you something. People don't pray enough about their decisions. People don't pray enough about their responses. Let me tell you something. If you're not prayed up, your response is not going to be good to something that offends you. All right? We need to be careful. Only do what leads to peace and edification in the body of Christ. If something brings confusion in the body of Christ, leave it alone. Just stay away from it. All right? Just stay away from it, okay? God is not the author of confusion. I think we need to bring every thought to Christ, and not every thought needs a voice. Okay, ask yourself, am I a builder or am I a destroyer? Only do what leads to peace and edification of the body. N, never publicize your personal convictions. Don't try to feed everybody your convictions with a spoon. Now, listen, the Lord gives us convictions that are designed for us. I couldn't tell you how many people, before we ever got to a conversation on standards, would come to me and say, hey, the Lord dealt with me about this and I'm going to change it. I didn't even have to go to them. The Lord dealt with them. All right? The Lord dealt with them. Never publicize your own personal convictions. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't things that this church doesn't adhere to scriptural truths. There are. There's things that this leadership is taught and they're expected. But listen, we can't publicize our own convictions on everybody else. All right? We need to be led by the Spirit of God. This is why we need the Holy Ghost so desperately, to lead us and to guide us. Look, one of the most popular questions I've been asked in the church since I became a pastor was, how do people speak in tongues and then go out and live like the devil? If they got the Holy Ghost, how do they go out and do this and go out and do that? Because let me tell you something. Speaking in tongues cannot be equated to the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues is the sign given when someone is filled with the Holy Ghost. And there's a difference in being filled with the Holy Ghost and abiding in the Holy Ghost. We could go get a bunch of groceries and we could stock this building today with groceries and fruits and vegetables. We could hang a big sign over our sign out front that says Kroger. And everybody will know this is a grocery store. But if everybody comes in here this week and takes out some produce and nobody restocks it, will it still be a grocery store next week? No, it won't. It's the same way with the Holy Ghost. There's a difference in being filled with the Holy Ghost and abiding in the Holy Ghost. That's why a minister of God's word can be filled with the Holy Ghost, preach an anointed sermon, and go out and cheat on his wife. That's why a minister of the gospel can be filled with the Holy Ghost and go out and cuss somebody out, because they're not abiding in the Holy Ghost. There's a difference in the initial introduction, or the Lord moving into the house, and the Lord staying and living in the house. All right? Brandon and Allison are married, right? She's his wife, okay? But if she leaves, okay, she might still have his last name, but is she his wife? It's the same concept, okay? We got to learn to abide in the Holy Ghost. This is why we need the desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And not just the initial introduction of the sign of the initial induction or initial evidence of speaking in a heavenly language, but we need the fruits of the Spirit. We need to be led by the Spirit. Let me tell you something. It's not a death certificate. It's a birth certificate. It's the beginning of your walk with God when you receive the Holy Ghost. It's not the end of your walk with God. You got to stay close to Him. You got to do what He says. You got to hold strong to your convictions. All right, this is why we need conviction. Because the Bible says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, when He is come, He's going to reprove the world of their sin. How can people go to church and do the most ungodly things? Because they're not abiding in the Holy Ghost. All right? They're not abiding. They're not living with the Holy Ghost. All right? The Comforter, the Holy Ghost, when He has come, He's going to reprove the world of their sin. Some people's sin is not exposed because they don't have the Spirit of God to lead them and to guide them. Okay? So we gotta be careful not to publicize our own personal convictions. I remember one time years back when I first started preaching the gospel, we were fellowshipping with some churches, and I went out, and this is not a dig on any of the other guys that was in the church with me, but I went out and I bought this electric blue suit. Man, I look like a TV star in that thing. I went out and bought this electric blue suit because we were fellowshipping with these churches and they were wearing all this cool stuff, right? And man, I tell you what, I wore that thing to church about twice. And the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. And he said, "What are you doing trying to draw all this attention to yourself?" Now, if you think this blue's bright, you'd have to see my suit, the one I'm talking about. All right, this ain't bright. This is mediocre compared to what I'm talking about. Bo knows what I'm talking about. Carl knows what I'm talking about. But the Lord dealt with me, and he said, "Don't be trying to draw a bunch of attention to yourself." Now, so you know what I did? Brother Mike, I took that electric blue suit, and I say electric to let you know how bright this thing was. I took that electric blue suit, I took it, and I gifted it to a young man in the church that didn't hardly have nothing. And he was very grateful for it. You know what I didn't do? I didn't go around to the guys in the church that bought the yellow and the orange and the red and all of the other colors, because the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not wear a yellow suit. Right? That was my own personal conviction. The Lord dealt with me that I was trying to draw attention to myself. I didn't publicize my own conviction to everybody else who had suits. I let the Lord speak to me personally. All right, now, the Bible speaks about wearing costly array, right? Now, you got to be careful because there's some scriptural truth there and some scriptural direction there. But you know, this wasn't a costly suit. It was just a flashy suit, right? It was just a bright suit. But the Lord dealt with me and he said, "Don't be trying to draw a bunch of attention to yourself." So I took it and I got rid of it. It was my own personal conviction. I didn't condemn the rest of the guys that had their suits. I got rid of my own because I felt the Lord speak to me, and it was my own personal conviction. My conviction was my conviction. I tried to stay in my own lane. All right, your convictions are between you and God when it comes to disputable matters. All right, stay in your own lane. Let everybody work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. All right. Your convictions are between you and God. Never publicize your personal convictions. Stand with me all over this house. I'm going to come to a close as the musicians come quickly. Never publicize your own personal convictions. I want to close tonight with the letter Y, the last letter of the word harmony. The letter Y. You got to yield your personal preferences. A child of God that is not willing to yield is not a child of God. Man, I'm going to have to say that one more time, because if you're going to be in this church, you're going to have to get a hold of it. If you want to be in a lukewarm church, you might as well go find you one. If you want a pastor that's going to tell you you can do anything you want, you might as well go find you one. A child of God that's not willing to yield is not a child of God. You're not, you got to learn to yield your own personal preferences. God speaks to us individually, all right? He knows what we need. He knows what we need more than we know what we need. Huh? But listen, what I need is what not what Sister Tanjus needs. So the Lord may be dealing with me in an old personal conviction about something in my life, and he might not be dealing with her. He might be dealing with her about something else in her life. The Lord knows what we need more than we know what we need. All right? We just got to be willing to yield our personal preferences and our personal convictions. We got to be willing to yield when the Lord gives us a conviction. If the Lord tells you, "Don't do that," I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care if the church don't teach against it. Don't do it. I don't want you doing it. You better listen to the Lord. You better listen to the Lord. Let me tell you something. Your own convictions should be so hard, you should never have a problem living with the standards of the church. Your own convictions that God gives you, you should have such a close relationship with God. I should never have to come and talk to you about something that you're doing. The Lord should convict you long before I ever get there. And the same goes for me. I don't want to do something that's going to bring a reproach upon this body. All right? But listen, we got to learn to yield our own personal preferences to the convictions that God gives us. God speaks to us individually. He knows what we need more than we know ourselves what we need. He'll give us each our own personal convictions. If you have strong personal convictions, then God bless you. Live by them. Live by them. Let the Lord, let the Holy Ghost be your guide. Let the Holy Ghost lead you and guide you in all truth and righteousness. Yield yourself to the convictions that God gives you. He'll speak to us individually. I applaud you today if you're a person that lives by your convictions. Live by those convictions, but it's your conviction. Don't publicize it. Don't force it on somebody else. Let the Lord speak to you. Let the Lord lead you. Let the Lord guide you. Let the Holy Ghost be your guide. Let the Holy Ghost be your comforter. It's your conviction, not everybody else's, when it comes to disputable matters. We got to keep peace and harmony in the body of Christ. We need peace and harmony in the body of Christ. Hebrews 12 and 14, as I come to a close tonight, the Bible says, follow peace with all men. Force feeding your convictions on somebody else is not keeping peace with them. All right? Follow peace with all men and holiness. Yield to the convictions that God gives you and follow peace with your brothers and your sisters in Christ. Because without these things, the Bible says, no man shall see God. So I'm going to say that one more time. Without following peace and without following holiness, we're not going to see God. We're not going to see the Lord. We need the love of God shed abroad in our hearts for people that are lost. We need to pray for those that have not come to the realization of some things that they need to come to. But we need to hold our own convictions in peace with the body of Christ tonight. We need peace. We need harmony in the body of Christ. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Without peace and without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We're getting ready to sing this song as we come to a close tonight. I know this is not a real evangelical service, and I know that we haven't been jumping up and down. And I know that we haven't been shouting the house down. And I know it's been quiet in here. But I wonder if there's anybody in this house that has enough gumption to get out of your seat and to walk to the front of this church, to lift your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to yield to you. I want to be a child of God that you place convictions, strongly held beliefs and opinions, oh God, on what I need to do to please you. I wonder if you get out of your seat tonight, if you're ready for some peace in your life, get out of that seat. These altars are open.